morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show, powered by Refreshment Services Pepsi, is underway. Get yourself a big glass of Harvest Ridge coffee and settle in. I was late on my Harvest Ridge today. I didn't get my first cup until almost 7, but I was still my usual charming self, so it's not just the caffeine that makes me sweet. We are joined today by Dr. Brandon Breening from Breening Total Wellness Center and by someone who is studying to become a doctor of chiropractic, Gabe Strauss. Welcome, Gabe.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. This is part of being a doctor, talking on the radio. Get right. Gabe, I'm going to give Gabe an adjustment of his microphone. Very, very good, doctor.
Yeah.
You could be.
I've been practicing.
If chiropractic doesn't work out, a career in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Could be yours. Very lucrative. Very lucrative.
I have a face for radio, so.
You're a very good-looking man, and you know it. Well, let's start and get things going. We're going to let Gabe get his anxiety level up to a peak.
Yes.
We won't go to him right away. We're just going to let it sit and simmer and get him to where he's just absolutely freaked out, and then we'll call on him, okay?
Perfect. That's how I like to do it.
Dr. Brandon Breening, what words of encouragement do you have today as people who are trying to get more healthy in the year 2022?
Oh, you want encouragement? Oh, I just came with the bad news, Mary.
Okay, well, what's the bad news? Is all hope lost? Just give up and eat cheesecake 24/7? It doesn't matter?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, although cheesecake can be delicious, but if you have a dairy problem, you probably want to be careful with that. So,
how do you know if you have a dairy problem?
Well, I mean, some people know pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. You'll know if you have a dairy problem. If you're lactose intolerant, it will take more than, not much more than one bite of cheesecake.
And then some other people just find out from, sometimes it's an elimination thing. I took it out of my diet. I didn't think I felt better, and then I added it back in, and I felt like crap. So, just depends. Anyhow, there is a new article out.
Oh, boy.
Doom and Gloom.
And what... what, pray tell, magazine is this from, and how can I get on their subscription
list? Oh, this is in Pediatrics, the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Ah.
Of course.
Let my subscription expire.
You let it lapse?
I let it lapse, so I'll rely on you to tell me what happened this month.
You know, I haven't paid for magazines at my office in almost 4 years. And I still get magazines delivered to my office.
My mother's been dead for 15 years, and I'm still on the Civil War newsletter list.
They just keep coming. Anyhow.
I mean, my mother's subscription, she must have had a 50-year subscription.
It was a lifetime.
Well, her lifetime's over.
It transferred to you.
It transferred
Congratulations.
To me. So what do the pediatric people say?
So they did a study of children between 6 months and 2 years. Followed about 600 children, and they noticed that the more these kids had antibiotics, the less vaccine antibodies their body made. So basically their vaccines became less effective the more antibiotics they had. So, you know, we're pushing and pushing to not just have an antibiotic all the time because of... we don't want to make super bugs, but this is another good reason to try and do something naturally. If you save the antibiotics for when you absolutely need it, when it won't clear something up. If you have an ear infection and they look in there and it's clear and they say this is a viral ear infection or this is an allergy, don't let them give you an antibiotic just
it's
in case.
Only for bacterial infections, right? Viral infection cannot be cured by antibiotics. But parents want their kids not to be in pain. The doctor should know better, but sometimes just like, okay.
Right.
You know, and they give it to them. And then the worst thing you can do is if you're supposed to take it for 10 days, the kid starts feeling better because not really doing anything for them anyway.
Right.
And they stop taking it, and now they become more and more resistant. So when they really do need that antibiotic, it is not effective in their body.
Exactly. You know, we have to be careful with these things. They're great tools, but let's use them as a tool and not use them as our only tool.
So do you feel that most people hear the term antibiotic, think that's the cure-all for everything? I'll go get one, or heaven forbid, I have some pills left over from the last time I was sick. I'll take those. I mean, we kind of tend to do stupid things like that to treat ourselves.
Oh, we're really good at that, you know. It's one
of
those.
It's human
things.
Nature, I guess.
Well, right. Well, it worked last time. Let's try it again. Right. I used to work in the swimming pool business, and I actually worked at three different pool stores. So if you come in and have a pool, we can talk about water chemistry. But
ear infection, ear problems with pools a lot.
Yeah, ear problems with pools a lot. Just depends on the angle of the ear canal and lots of things. But when I worked at that pool store, people would come in and they'd buy calcium because it was the only thing that cleared up their pool the last time they had water that was cloudy. Well, okay, but we offer water testing. Why not test for it and see if calcium is what you actually need? And then they end up with too much calcium in their water and so many problems. So it's just the nature of things. If it worked last time, let's try it again.
And that's a very good analogy to what you do now. Now that you only take care of your own pool, and frankly,
I don't have a pool. Mom takes care of her pool.
Oh yeah, that's right. So, you don't have to take care of the pool. You go swimming in other people's pools.
Yeah, it's even better.
You're one of the smart people like me. I go swimming in your mom and dad's pool, so you don't have to take care of it.
Exactly.
Your children have been trained though to get all the bugs out before I get in. So
good.
That's really a good thing. But you can look at the water and say it's not as clear as I'd like, or it's not as this as I like, or as soft as I like, and you can guess, or you could do the chemistry. Because when I go to the Y, they're constantly shaking something up and looking to see what really needs to be done, not just going and saying, oh, here's the hot tub, somebody's been sitting in it, I'll throw this in, that'll make it better. So it's the same way with our bodies, right? We need to test. We don't know if we're vitamin D deficient unless we get tested.
Right, and that's why I recommend a really good basic blood panel once a year, even if you feel fine. Because like we talked about with that water, it could look fine. But there might be something lurking underneath, and the next day you wake up and it's all green. So,
do you think that's part of what your mission is, to get people to their optimum health? I mean, a lot of us are walking around and we're doing okay. But to get to that optimum health, we need to probably, I know you've given me some supplements. I think they've really helped, my lungs especially. To get to that optimum health, you can just be kind of walking around existing, or you can be in a more optimum health mode, and a lot of that is building up what you're deficient in. If you don't know you're deficient in it, how can you possibly build it up?
Absolutely, and this kind of goes along with RDAs, right? RDAs
recommended
daily allowance. Most of those are set up to get you what you need in order to not be sick.
So I won't get scurvy,
right?
Or rickets,
but you could just feel. Maybe your gums bleed every time you brush your teeth. That can be actually a sign of vitamin C deficiency. It may not be. It may just be weak gums. But it's something to look at. It's one of the somebody with scurvy has bleeding gums. So sometimes you take these small signs and you parlay them into, okay, what is this a deficiency of? What if we expand this out and let this go? What disease does this become?
Okay.
And then you work your way back from there.
Well, Gabe Strauss is also here. We're going to meet him today. We're going to learn a little bit about him. First, we're going to take a break. And again, I'm going to let that anxiety just build and well. Is this your very first radio appearance, Gabe?
Yes, it is.
Okay. We're recording tape, and someday, this will be used against you. We'll be back right after this. Dr. Brandon Breeny, my guest today, as he is the third Tuesday, I believe, of every month. But now we're going to turn our attention to Gabe Strauss. Gabe is going to tell us a little bit about himself. He wants to be a doctor of chiropractic, and so he has come to do kind of an internship with Dr. Breeny at Breeny Total Wellness Center. So get this microphone so that you're looking at me through the, there you go. Okay, this is Gabe's first appearance on the radio. And I always love it when exceptionally really bright people like doctors are scared of me, because
Well,
I am scary.
I absolutely
But,
are.
Now I've got him terrorized.
Yeah.
So if you've ever been afraid to go to the doctor, this is all of your payback because he's so nervous right now. But really, Gabe, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So originally I'm from Springfield, Missouri. I go to school at Logan College of Chiropractic out of St. Louis. And the end of our schooling, we do an internship. So I will actually be working with Dr. Breeny until December.
Going to be exciting. Now, you're going to Logan. Dr. Breeny went to the Palmer School of Chiropractic,
right.
So, is there a rivalry between Logan and Palmer? Do they teach different techniques, or is that all behind us now?
There is a little bit. There's a difference of philosophy. The Logan College of Chiropractic, we teach that the base is the foundation, so we look at the sacrum and we make sure we balance you from the bottom up. And Palmer has the opposite approach. They start at the top of the spine, and they balance that, and they think everything else falls in a line.
Well, no wonder I like both of you. I'm all messed up in the middle. So my thoracic area is a mess. So you can both start working at me, and when you get to the middle, whatever part sticking out, just give it a whack and shove it back in, right?
If I ever found a school, it will be the T7 specific school. right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, like when I go see my gum man, and I'm like, how do my teeth look? He goes, I don't look at your teeth. It's like, you know, yeah. I get paid to look at your gums. I'm not even looking at your teeth. So you're learning at the Logan School. So your schooling is basically over, and now you're going to have to do some practicals. And thank you for working on my husband.
I
enjoyed
welcome.
Your adjustments. And so you're going to learn about life in the office, not just the theory. But when people come in and say, I don't feel so great, doc, what do you think's wrong with me? That's hard, isn't it, to diagnose people sometimes. But, of course, with chiropractic, the patient's body tells a lot, right?
Yeah, it is a lot about finding the root of the problem, not just working on their symptoms. So every patient that comes in is somewhat of a puzzle depending on how complex they are.
Now, you talk a little bit about gut health. We talk about that a lot. Dr. Brandon has talked about that a lot on this show. You know, gut health has nothing to do with manipulating the spine or aligning the bones or anything like that. So what are some of the diagnostic tools you use to maybe tell somebody that maybe their gut health isn't good? And we were talking about antibiotics. One of the things is you take antibiotics, it kills all the bad stuff, but it kills all the good stuff too.
That's right. It kind of depends. You can tell certain things from symptoms. There are stool tests you can take or other things that kind of tell you things are off.
So like when you do the stool test, that tells you what kind of bacteria and flora and fauna are in there. And I think a lot of people are really surprised that there's millions of things living inside our body, but we need those things, right?
Yeah, it's just about looking at there's certain ones you want to be in there and certain ones you don't, and they fall into specific reference ranges, and when they fall outside of that, that's when things start to get unhappy.
Is it kind of like a garden? Like I kind of want the ladybugs to be there just enough to eat the aphids, but not enough, not too many ladybugs that after all the aphids are eaten, then they start eating other things. So we got to keep all of our bugs in good proportion to each other. So the good ones are eating the bad ones. There have to be some bad ones or the good ones wouldn't have anything to eat, right?
Yep, that's a good analogy. It's all about balance.
And so what do you recommend for people who just generally want to keep their gut health? We always hear about eating yogurt. But if you just go get a 35-cent cup of yogurt at the local grocery store that has no active culture in it, that's not really going to help you. Yet it is yogurt. So, you know, what should we be doing to make sure our gut health is in good primary health?
Yeah, there's a few simple things you can do. Probiotics can be helpful, but like you said, sometimes in the foods you buy at the store, there's a whole bunch of other food additives, or maybe they're dead cultures and they don't quite do the job. But in general, fermented foods are good. But some other simple things you can do are diversify your meals. If you get a variety of plant fibers like vegetables and fruits, that's going to help diversify your gut biome.
Like you mentioned, for example, you mentioned certain kinds of food and fermented foods. Some people drink just a little bit of apple cider vinegar, just like a little shot glass of apple cider vinegar. Is that efficacious? Is that even a word? Help me, Dr. Brandon, you're smart. Is that even effective to do a little bit of vinegar treatment? I hear some people say they drink apple cider vinegar almost every day, and they claim that it really, you know, makes them feel better. Is that part of your butt biome? No, your gut biome. So you just turn it into a terrible, this can never be the best of the Mary Griffith show if you don't help me out, doctor.
Won't have that there.
So is vinegar good for you?
Yeah, it can. For a lot of people, it can be, because there's a whole lot of things that go into the gut biome. There's your whole digestive process in general, the pH of your gut, which the apple cider vinegar can help with a number of those.
Should you be acid or base?
It depends on where in the body you are.
Well, I see this alkaline water. I never even heard of this before. Now they want me to buy a gallon of alkaline water. Do I need a gallon of alkaline water, Dr. Brandon?
Probably not.
Okay, so what does alkaline water do for you? If you're really base, brings you up, or no? Alkaline is base, right?
Yeah, alkaline is
okay,
base.
Okay, so if you're too acidic, is alkaline water to kind of help you try to get you to a more base? Or does that, you'd have to be a little bit more specific?
The biggest problem with alkaline water is you're dumping it straight into the most acidic environment in your entire body. So you're not going to make huge changes throughout the rest of your body because it's like putting a bucket of water into the ocean.
So why, how do things even survive our stomach? Because like what's in there is just, yeah. It's made to break down and kill everything. So why, how do vitamins even survive? How do you get, you know, like, okay, so I eat this great yogurt or I have this probiotic. It's still got to go through there. So how does anything survive our stomach?
A lot of stuff doesn't, especially a lot of the harmful bacteria, and that's why it's important to have enough stomach acid. But certain things are resistant, and they obviously do get through, but certain things like proteins, you want them to be broken down so that you can absorb them better later on.
Yeah, we want our stomach to do its job, but I guess I'm just kind of struggling with my, you know, second grade science level brain to try to figure out how do I know. Like, I've heard people say, well, vitamin C, but if you heat something above a certain temperature, the vitamin C is lost. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, basically, what happens is your body is able to reconstitute a lot of these things, right? You give it the building blocks of what it needs. You give it, it breaks it down. Some of the things that it is just naturally resistant to the breaking down of the acids and all that in there. And some of it, needs to be broken down into smaller parts so that your body can make what it needs out of it. So
it breaks it down in the stomach, but then it goes into your bloodstream, it goes into your intestines, and it's reconstituted to kind of give you the healthy stuff you need?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. When you, Gabe Strauss, I can't call him doctor yet. When will I be able to call you? You have to pass a big test, right?
Well, I actually already passed all of my national boards, so it's just
graduating
from school. I have to graduate in December.
Because I have to give him a good grade so he can graduate from school. Good luck.
Good luck.
Although Greg, your Bears fan, gave him a good grade.
Yeah, so, my husband loves you. So where do you want to practice, and what kind of practice do you want to be in?
I want to eventually end up back home in Springfield, Missouri, since that's where all of my family's at. The type of practice I want to have is ideally one very similar to Dr. Breening.
Okay. So, I mean, that's why you chose him, because you want to kind of do what he's doing. And that is really to look at people very holistically. I mean, chiropractic is known for adjusting, and adjusting will always be part of chiropractic, but there are things wrong with your internal system. Doctor also does a lot of the neuro, of the brain stuff. Are you interested in that?
It is interesting, but it's very complex. That will take a while to learn.
Yeah, it's taken him a while. Dr. Brandon, how long have you been studying neuro? And didn't you get some big, did you pass that test? I don't want to embarrass you if you failed it. Too late now,
so
right?
That test, I actually took that test 2 months after Diana passed away.
Okay, so you passed that.
I did not.
You did not?
Well, it was 2 months
because
after
it was 2 months after the bereavement.
I mean,
will you take it again?
I'll take it again eventually.
Okay.
There was a lot of, I had to completely switch gears from what I was working on to what I needed to know to take care of my current patients.
You know, that's a good example, and I want Gabe Strauss to comment on that. One thing that nobody can control, I mean, we can maybe have our probiotics and we can eat our green leafy vegetables and I can have some cider vinegar or have a sauerkraut on a Reuben every once in a while to try to help my gut health. But when something really horrifying happens, like Dr. Brandon lost his partner very unexpectedly and had to step up to the bat and kind of take over a practice. I mean, you can kind of imagine how overwhelming that would be. A lot of times, do you think doctors need to think more about the emotional aspect of what's going on in a patient's life rather than just, oh, you need vitamin C, oh, you need vitamin D, oh, your knee's out, so I'm going to push that, oh, your sacrum's out, then get your hips back in line and you're going to feel a lot better. Those are all good things. But what about, as a doctor, as a healer, the emotional component of our lives?
I think it's just as important as every other component. As they teach us in school, health is sort of a triad. We put structure as the base since we're chiropractors, but there could also be chemical problems, but also thoughts as the other part. the emotional aspect can affect really any other part of your health.
So how do you, you know, people come to you, they're not really coming to you like a, as a psychiatrist. I know just because I'm related to Dr. Brandon, and I am related to the deceased Dr. Diane Franklin and the deceased Dr. Sheila Laws, that, you know, sometimes they would ask me questions about things, knowing that I might have a childhood trigger or that I might have undergone a trauma like falling off a horse or something like that that could come back later in life to kind of affect me. How do you get into the psyche or mind of your patient, or does the body start to tell you things?
Yeah, so we are not counselors, but by letting the body tell us things, we can encourage your body to help process things better.
So, like, I was just to learn that grief, the lungs held the grief. And so a lot of times after a grieving incident, people will come up with a lung disease or bronchitis or, yeah, you know, they might be more susceptible to get pneumonia. It's just grief, yeah, kind of affects your lungs.
Yeah. Well, like a couple of times in the last, since Gabe's been here, I've had a couple of patients with shoulder issues. And we work on their shoulder and we look at their shoulder and everything seems fine, but their pain doesn't go away. So then we start looking at other things, right? Like, all right, well, who do you want to hit but you can't? Because sometimes that shoulder pain is you holding back for, you want to haul off and hit somebody, but you're a good person and you know you shouldn't hit them. So sometimes that's your body holding that emotion in that shoulder. So it's
okay.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now so. I know why Steve is always complaining that his shoulder
hurts. His shoulder probably does hurt.
Mine feels great because I just lash out at everybody.
Away, so
I just lash out at everybody.
Reach over and hit you. So.
Well, we'll hear from Gabe Strauss again. If you're here till December, this is mandatory now. This is part of your training.
Yeah.
And Dr. Brandon, you always bring great things to mind. And remember, folks, you know, God made us to be healthy. We have to keep all that stuff in balance. So if you're not at your optimum level, you deserve it to be at your optimum level. So, you know, call your friendly chiropractor, talk to your family physician, do something to get yourself to that optimum level. And take your vitamin D, even on a day like today. If you're lily white like me, you're not going to get enough of it.
No.
Do you like the fact that I'm supposed to be wearing cool, light clothing today and I'm dressed all in black, Johnny Cash book?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're going to wear that until all people are treated equally?
Yeah, at 104, I'm going to be out in the 104 degree. I'm going to say, look, I'm tough. I can take it.
Yeah.
Watch me perish in my black pants and my black top. Okay.
It'll hold the heat in.
So, I was a little chilly. I might be chilly later on today. Thank you very much. This guy is going, I know one thing for sure. I'm not ever practicing anywhere where this chick is on the radio. And he may not ever come back again. Gabe, you're wonderful. This is a test. You didn't even know this, but this is a test of how you handle yourself under strange pressures from emotionally disturbed women who might come into your office later today.
Never happens.
We're going to take a break. We're going to head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative, and then we're going to talk about CASA volunteers, so stay tuned. Danielle Buss is here with Court-Appointed Special Advocates, CASA, and they are in desperate need of volunteers. And so this is a very specialized kind of program. So, Danielle, first of all, tell us about what CASA is and what you do and what the Child's Advocacy Network is. One thing I've really enjoyed as a news reporter, police officers have started to add to their police reports, this interrogation was aided by the Children's Advocacy Network. This investigation was aided by trained investigators with court-appointed special advocates. I think people hear that. They need to understand that not every police officer is going to be fully able to do every single aspect of a specialized job. That's one of the ways that your trained employees come in. But you also need volunteers to support that. So let's talk about that. What kind of things do you need?
Absolutely. So for our CASA volunteers, you know, as you said, CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And right now we need volunteers. So our volunteers serve for the best interest of children who have been abused and neglected and who are in the court system. And so our volunteers get trained, and so they don't need any special training or any special background in the sense of being a volunteer until they give us a call. They call us, and in Adams County, they talk to Brittany, and Brittany will walk them through what they need to do, and then we can train them in a training, and they will learn everything they need from us, and then they get sworn in by the judge, and after that our volunteers get a case, and it could be one child, it could be six children, it depends on what that volunteer needs, what they want to do, and how many hours they want to spend a month. But after they get their first case, they will see the child and anybody in that family once a month at a minimum. So they could see them at school, at, you know, dance class, or wherever that child may be, and then they write reports for the court. So roughly every 3 months, our court hearings come up. Our volunteers write court reports and talk about how the children are doing, how the parents are doing, and then concerns and recommendations. And our goal is for the family to be able to reunite. If that can't happen, then we need to look at other goals for that child and those children in that home. And so during a life of a case, our volunteer is learning this, who this child is, learning what their wants are, learning what their needs are, and what they need to find a permanent home as soon as possible. And when we talk about CASA volunteers and, you know, the kids coming in, right now we're busier than ever. We always say, you know, we need volunteers, but we are in desperate need of volunteers at this point. Since January 1st of 2022, we have 75 new children that our office is serving. And overall, right now, we are serving 515 kids, and we've never had this many children in foster care.
Why the uptake in abused and neglected children?
You know, it's hard. Right now, we have a lot of cases coming in with meth use with parents in the home. We also have a lot more cases coming in with children being physically abused. And I don't know why that is, but it is going up, and we need people to step up and be a voice for these children.
Well, one thing, reporting may be increasing, and of course we do want reporting. We don't want rising numbers, but we want every child that needs help to get that help. Now, here's the key. You don't have to be a social worker. They're not going to train you how to go in and do an intervention, you know, between mom and pop and the kid or anything like that. You are going to stand for the best interest of the child. So the judge is going to, you know, say, is the child emotionally well adjusted? Now, one of the ironies is, no matter how badly a child is abused, they still relate to their parent. They still love daddy, even if daddy beats them. They still
Absolutely.
Love mommy, even if mommy beats them. So it's not a question of, do you love your mommy or daddy? It's a question of, do mommy and daddy love you enough not to hurt you or harm you? And so you're not spying for either side or anything like that.
No.
You're just helping the kids. So anybody that's got a good heart and some time to spend and cares about the welfare of children can do this job.
Absolutely. And, you know, our volunteers are trained to look for the facts. So they get to observe visits. They talk to the parents. They talk to the foster parents. They talk to the child. And they're just letting the judge know the facts. What is going on? What do we see? And you're right. The kids always love their parents. And what I always tell volunteers is, if the parent can parent and better themselves to love and take care of their child, then they deserve to have that child back. Unfortunately, we have parents that aren't able to do it either. And so our volunteers have to be aware. And that's what our training really does, is make them aware of both ends. You know, we have children go home and they are able to be with a biological parent, and it's safe and it's nurturing and they will be okay. But we have other kids that will never be able to go back to their biological family. So we see both ends, and we advocate for whatever is best for that child and whatever is going to make sure that they are safe long term. And we don't need training. We train them in 1 weekend usually. So in a 1 weekend accelerated training, we can have them learn everything.
Okay. Because, again, you're not trying to be an expert in being a child caseworker.
No.
You are trying to answer some questions a judge or an attorney might have that would be an impartial third person who cares only about the interest of the child. Because it's ironic, but everybody's got a lawyer except the kids.
Yeah,
and so they need this court-appointed special advocate.
Absolutely. And our judges, you know, they always say that CASA is kind of the eyes and ears for them. Judges and attorneys can't go out and see the kids or talk to any member of the case and get information. They rely on our court reports from the caseworker and from our CASA volunteers. So the judges always say we're kind of the eyes and ears for them. We get to find other facts that maybe a caseworker couldn't do because, unfortunately, they, you know, with this many kids in care, means they are slammed as well. So we are, you know, the eyes and ears for the court system, and we are able to give information to the court that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise.
Okay. Well, obviously, this is not something like licking envelopes for 2 hours and then you're done. This is a specialized volunteer duty where you may be assigned to a child, and that child may be in the court system for 2 months or 2 years.
Correct.
So, you know, again, they're not trying to overload you. You know, you take what you want. You're a volunteer. You could say, I just want this child, or I just want this family of siblings. They'll be respectful of that. We're almost out of time, so how can we get in touch with you? How can we get in touch, Danielle Buss, with CASA? And how can we get the ball rolling to get this training to be a volunteer?
Absolutely. So they can call us at 217-223-2272, and we can help them get the information they need, receive more information and application. We do have a training coming up in September. We can give more information if they give us a call. We also have a Facebook page and a website, and if they look up Advocacy Network for Children, our CASA program information's on there.
Okay. It's very needed, folks, and law enforcement relies on it greatly. Thank you so very much.